When I was growing up, roughly about your age and probably a bit younger, I used to think that I grew up in a poor family. I lived in Wyong. I may have lived in the eastern bit, which was sort of the middle range suburb in the area. But I grew up thinking that I was poor because I didn't always get the toys and the things that I really, really needed. I've never had a Game Boy. I'd love to just to play Tetris an hour on end, and every time I used a friend's one, Tetris, baby, Tetris. Good times. Never had a PlayStation, never had one of those Ataris, I think it was pretty cool back in my day. We never had all those things, and I thought that I grew up in a poor family. I thought that I grew up in a family that didn't really have much money. I've now grown up, and I now realize just how rich my family was and still is. Just how rich I've always been. Even when I thought I was poor. Even when we may not have had heaps of money necessarily in the bank, I've realized just how rich I really am. And I have grown up that way. Do you know what? If you have come on Shred Hotham, you, I think I'm missing a word there, are uber rich. Uber rich is a German word for, what's it mean? Very, it's not quite very.
Super,
great. What is it?
Mega.
Ridiculous. More. Mega, more. You guys are super duper rich. If you can afford to come on Shred Hotham, you're not just rich, you are uber, 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 uber rich. There's a website on the internet where you can type in how much your annual income is, and it estimates where you are ranked in the 6 billion people in the world as far as wealth. And I put in a figure that you would get through Aus Study alone. Youth allowance. When you leave school, if you go to university, even if you just get that much money, which isn't much, you are in the top slice of the world. You are one of the richest people here in the universe by the fact that you've come on this camp. This is my fourth year on this camp, and my first year on this camp, I hadn't heard of iPods until I came to this camp. And everyone had iPods. They hadn't hit the Central Coast yet. The Central Coast isn't super poor, but it's not quite as rich as Sydney. And everyone had iPods. And I'm like, what are these things? And I still don't quite know what they are. And I think I broke one last night. Sorry. I didn't break it. I pressed the button. It didn't work. It's probably because you broke it while you're skiing. I'm joking. I broke it. No, I didn't break it. You guys are really rich. You own iPods. You own all sorts of different things. Basically, when you want something, you get it. You might have to do some chores to earn a certain amount of pocket money, which is probably more than the annual income of some people in some nations, is the money that you get just in one week. Some of your parents may have significant jobs. They might be CEOs of significant companies. They might have significant roles in different corporations. They might be the chairman on this board. They might be the headmistress at this school. They might be. There's a whole bunch of positions that your parents have in society, which means that you aren't just living in Sydney, which makes you rich. You're actually some of the richest people in Sydney. And Sydney is a very, very prosperous city. Sydney is a very, very rich city. Australia is a very, very rich country. And you personally are one of the richest people in this country. You have grown up with lots of money. You will probably be able to get a job where you'll earn stacks of money by Australian standards. Even if you go and work at Macca's for the rest of your life, you will be in the top percent in the world. You'll be in the top 1% in the world just by working at McDonald's for the rest of your life. The fact that you've got running water is actually an indication that you're rich. That you've got a roof over your head is another indication that you're rich. If you are on Shred Hotham, you need to listen to this talk. Leaders and campers, all of us are incredibly uber rich. We've got lots of cash. We've got lots of access to cash. We live in a society that is getting richer and richer. We live in a country that is getting richer and richer. I heard a statistic from the United States that in 1986, I'm not sure what the stat is in Australia, but it's probably pretty similar. In 1986, there were more high schools than shopping centres. Okay, got that? 1986, more high schools than there were shopping centres. By 2006, just 20 years later, there were two times more shopping centres than high schools. There is more money going into shopping centres and materialism than goes into education systems. There is more money being thrown out there at buying the next best 57th generation iPod, the next whatever it is, material things. We live in a rich society where you live, and you are uber rich. And the question for tonight is an important question for every single person sitting in this room. In fact, every single person that can afford to come to Mount Hotham, whether they're staying in the cheapest backpackers hostel, whether they're staying in the richest, swishiest chalet with jacuzzis and with cocktails and whatever it might be, every single person on this mountain needs to hear this. How do rich people get to heaven? Okay, that should prick up some ears, because you're a rich person. My guess is you probably don't want to go to hell. You probably want to go to heaven. Heaven is good, hell is bad. Don't go there, go there. You want to go to heaven. And so this is an important question tonight. How do rich people go to heaven? But we'll take a step back from that. How does anyone go to heaven? Imagine you did grow up in a country where there isn't much money. Imagine you did grow up in a family where your parents don't have good jobs. Imagine you cannot afford to even go to school. How does anyone get to heaven? That's the question we're going to ask of the Bible passage that's been read out for us tonight. And it's a question I hope that you all take very, very seriously. The song that was just sung out for us, The Rich Man. We're going to meet a rich man in a moment. Not that rich man. We could have talked about that one. We're going to talk about the rich man in Luke chapter 18. But death is something that will come to all of us. And then what? Heaven or hell? They're the two options. And so the question tonight is, how does a rich person get to heaven? How does anyone get to heaven? Very, very quickly, we'll do a very quick overview of, oh, you've seen it. Who knows the verse? Wait, one, two, one. Oh, wait, we'll do it in German, because we just said Uber. Eins, zwei, drei.
Jesus came to seek and save what was lost.
Good stuff. Jesus came to seek. Oh, Luke 19, verse 10. Well done. Double points. Head of the class. Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. I thought it'd be a really good opportunity just for 1 minute to quickly do an overview of where we've been. So quickly turn back. Turn back to page number. Can't quite read the numbers. Number six. Talk number one. Question was, who is Jesus? And we listened to Jesus about who Jesus is. We didn't listen to Ricky Bobby or Casey Chambers. We thought, let's have a listen to Jesus. Let's have a listen to Jesus' word in the Bible and see who he says he is. Who is Jesus according to that verse, according to that passage, according to that first talk? Jesus is the one who came to do what? To seek and to save what was lost. That's who Jesus is. He is the one who's come to do that. But in doing that, as he brings salvation, as he saves people, as he finds people, he's also bringing judgment. There's the two things that happen. Jesus is someone that we can't treat like a baby. We need to take Jesus and his word seriously. There was the point day one. Day one study. What do we look at? Who was it? The fisherman was lost. Did the fisherman recognize he was lost or not? He did. And what did he do?
He fell on his knees.
He fell on his knees. He's like, I'm not worthy, Jesus. And then he follows Jesus. Jesus says, don't be afraid. And the fishermen, they begin to follow Jesus. They were people who recognized they were lost and that in Jesus they could be found. So they started following Jesus. Talk number two, the paralytic. We saw what the world needs most. What the world needs most is not food, is not our legs being fixed, is not anything physical. Those things are important and we ought to pursue those things. But what matters most is that people have forgiveness from God. Who comes along to fix our problem? Jesus comes along to fix our problem. Jesus is the one who makes it possible for us to be forgiven and be back in a friendship with God again. And he did that. You see him heal the person, shows that when he does the visible thing, he can actually do the invisible thing of forgiving our sin. Study number two, we looked at the prostitute, or prostitute if you put a T in there. And again, she was someone who was lost. And she actually saw that she was lost, and she responded appropriately to Jesus. And she responded to him as the one who came to find her. Yesterday, last night, we saw four stories. What was the first one?
Sheep.
Sheep. Second one. Third one. The rebel. Fourth one. The brother. Okay, we saw four lost stories, and we saw the party. That is a result of lost things being found. We saw the party that is a result of people becoming Christian. And we looked at the fact that Jesus dying on the cross, what does it do? Point number four, it calls us home. Whether we're a religious nut like the older brother, or whether we're a party-going idiot like the younger brother, the cross of Jesus calls us home. And then finally, last night in your study, you looked at the Pharisee. There were two people. There was a Pharisee and a tax collector. The tax collector actually recognized that he was lost, but the Pharisee, he was proud. He didn't recognize that he was lost. He thought he was good enough for God. And in doing so, he didn't go home justified. That is, he didn't go home friends with God. And so we're up to page number...
It's a long way down.
Page number 18. And we're going to talk about the rich man. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God would help to calm us, help us to concentrate. And what we're going to be looking at is hugely significant. What we're going to be talking about is your eternal destiny. The question we're going to answer... How is it that rich people, how is it that anyone can go to heaven? How about you pray with me? If you agree, say amen. Dear God, thank you so much for Shred Hotham. Thank you for looking after us, and thank you for the many things we've learned about Jesus. We thank you that he came to seek and to save what was lost. We ask that you'd help us to recognize that we are lost, and we ask that you'd help us to come to Jesus, the one who can find us. We thank you so much for all the different people we've been meeting in the Bible. We thank you for those that have recognized they were lost. We pray that you'd help us to learn from those who were lost but didn't realize it. And we pray now that you'd help us to understand how it is that we as rich people can go to heaven and how it is that anyone can go to heaven. Please help us to concentrate, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we've got a story of a rich man, and there's a question that the rich man asks straight away. He says, what must I do to go to heaven? Let's have a look at it there. Verse number 18, sentence number 18. A certain ruler asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus says in sentence number 19, those who are talking, please stop being rude. Sentence number 19, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Just a quick point there. Jesus doesn't say, I'm not good, does he? Why? Jesus is good. God alone is good. Jesus is God. We keep seeing that time and time again. Jesus is actually God who's come down to seek and to save what was lost. And so he says, sentence number 20 to the rich man, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. And then what does the rich man say? All these I have kept since I was a boy. Okay, you got the point? He comes along to Jesus and says, what must I do? What have I got to do to get in? I want to go to heaven. It sounds a lot better than the other alternatives. How do I get there? And Jesus, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, okay, you've heard the commandments. Here's what they are. Dup, 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 dup. And what does the young man say? What does the rich man say? I've kept them. I've done everything. But then, have a look at the next sentence. Sentence number 22. It says, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Sentence 23, when the rich man heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. This guy was sad. Why is he sad? Because he loves his money. He loves his stuff. He loves his possessions. He loves his iPod. He loves his ski boots. He loves his room with his TV and his surround sound. He loves all that stuff. That stuff matters to him more than God. You might actually notice, who's heard of the Ten Commandments? Okay, how many commandments, quickly look down, did Jesus say in the verse there? Jesus said, how many?
Five.
He says five of the commandments. When you look at the Ten Commandments, the law that God had given his people to live by, they were sort of divided into two chunks. There were six of them that were all about how to love your neighbor. Okay? Six of them all about how to treat one another. The five that we see there are from that half. You got that? Okay, all five of those, do not steal, do not murder. It's about how to love one another, how to love other people. The first four commandments can be summarized by saying, love God. The last six, love others. The first four, love God. Jesus doesn't mention those four commandments. And the greatest commandment that he says in a previous chapter is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with everything, you're to love God. Do you know what this man's failed to do? He may well be a good and moral person. Hand up if you've murdered someone. Please don't put your hand up. Yeah, you may not have murdered someone. You may not have stolen much. You may not have stolen anything. You may have always honored your parents. You may have never committed adultery. You may never have done any of those things. But you know what? Unless you love God, unless you live for Him, that stuff means nothing. What this guy has failed to do is keep the greatest commandment. Have one God and one God only and love Him. Who's God? Who's the God of this man?
Money.
His wealth, his possessions, his stuff. That's the God of this rich man. And he is not willing to give it up. That's why he's sad. Oh, you mean I've got to give it all up to follow you? Oh, this man may be a good and moral person, but he's not living with God as his God. He's not loving God as number one. There's a great philosopher, Woody Allen, who's also a filmmaker. And he once said that you cannot ride two horses with one bum. Can you picture that for a moment? You've got two GGs. Two GGs. Okay. Can you ride two horses with one bum? It's impossible to ride two horses with one bum. Got the picture? Everyone's viewing those things. It's like, I won't go any further. It's impossible to ride two horses with one bum. It's impossible to serve two gods. Jesus says that time and time again. You'll either love one and hate the other, or be devoted to one and hate and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Who's this guy serving?
Money.
It's the moolah. It's all about what he's got. But you know what? One day he'll die and he'll have to stand before God. And what will he have then? He'll have nothing. Money and possessions only last in this life. But loving God lasts forever. Worshipping God, that's what loving God is. Worshipping him, giving your whole life to him. This man wasn't up for that. This man wasn't willing to follow Jesus. This man says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But he's not willing to love God as he should love him. I want to ask you a serious question tonight. This is both to you if you aren't a Christian, and those who claim to be Christian, those who may well be Christian. Who do you serve? What matters more to you? Are you willing to give up your house and your family and your iPod? Are you willing enough to give up your new Adidas shoes? Because Jesus says you can serve one God and one God only. Jesus says a whole bunch of times things about money throughout these chapters, and we're just picking up one of them. He doesn't say money in and of itself is wrong. It's not wrong to have money. But what's your God? Is it money? Or is it Jesus? I really want you to think about that question. Because the suburb you live in, the camp that you're now on, the country you live in, means that it's very, very dangerous. The amount of money you have, the amount of money you will one day have, the amount of money that you have access to. Let me encourage you tonight to see that serving God, loving God, loving Jesus, worshipping Him, that's where the action is. That's the stuff that will last forever. Your iPod will break, or I'll break it. Your house will burn down, or something might happen to it, or you'll sell it and someone will demolish it. You'll die. You can't take it with you. Who are you going to serve? Money and possessions, or Jesus? Now, what happens next? Let's have a look at it. Sentence number, what are we up to? 24. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Can you hear those words? Jesus is speaking to you. I don't know, have you ever thought, gee, I want God to speak to me? Jesus is speaking to you right now. And what's he saying? It's hard for you, the rich, to enter the kingdom of God. It's hard for you to go to heaven. And then Jesus tells a joke about a camel. That's a pretty cool joke. Have a look at it. Sentence number 25. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Some people think Jesus is a girl. Okay, some of the pictures you see of Jesus, he looks like a girl. He's got the blonde combed hair. He's got the skirt on. Okay, people treat Jesus like a girl. People sing my Jesus, my girlfriend, my boyfriend type of songs to Jesus. They sing these songs that you could easily take the word Jesus out of and be singing it to your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Jesus is often very feminine, even in churches. You know what? Jesus told jokes. Jesus, when he's hanging out with his homies, the disciples, for 3 years, they probably can't. They probably did pull my finger jokes. They probably did all that type of stuff. Jesus was a man and Jesus was able to do jokes. But do you get his joke? Because it's quite serious, the point it's making. What's the point he's making? His point is that it's tough for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's tough. Camels, have you seen the size of a camel? I rode a camel back in 1988. I was 8 years old and it was lots of fun. They're big. They're very, very big. Have you seen the size of a needle? They're little. They're very, very little. And there's a little eye. I can't even thread the thread through the eye of the needle. How hard is that? I was taught this in primary school. You sort of do that, pinch it in there, and then you poke it through like that. And sometimes it works. But can you imagine putting a camel through the eye of a needle? It's impossible. What's Jesus' point? It's impossible for rich people to go to heaven. It's no longer a joke. It's a little bit funny, but Jesus is saying it's impossible for you to go to heaven. And so they ask a very, very, very good question. Have a look at the question in sentence number 26. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? It's a good question, isn't it? Who can be saved? Well, if rich people can't go to heaven, if it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, how can anyone be saved? How can anyone go to heaven? Jesus says in sentence number 27 there that it's impossible. It's impossible for rich people to enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know what the key problem is? The key problem for this rich man, the key problem for you, and the key problem for every religious person, people of every religion in the world, is sentence number 18. Go back and have a look at it again. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Do you know what the problem is? There's a two-letter word in there. Shout it out, I heard it.
Do.
Do is the problem. Do is the problem there. This man thinks he can do something to go to heaven. Do you know what? He can't. All religions are about what you do. Whether it's Islam, whether it's Catholicism, whether it's Mormonism, whether it's Hinduism, whatever religion, they're all about what you do. But we've learned this week that what we do isn't enough. We've fallen short. We've all sinned. And therefore, it's impossible to get to heaven by doing stuff. Okay, if you think you're going to get to heaven by doing stuff, by being good, by not murdering, by not stealing, by being a good and moral upright citizen, by helping old ladies across the road, by fixing people's broken iPods, whatever it might be, Jesus says it's impossible for anyone to enter the kingdom of heaven if they try to do something to get there. That leaves us in a bit of a pickle. It's impossible for every single one of us, it's impossible for every single person to get to heaven by doing something. Do you know what the word gospel means? Who knows what the word gospel means?
Good news.
Good news. Do you know what the good news of Christianity is? It's not about what you do. It's not about what you do. The good news of Jesus is the fact that the impossible has been made possible through Jesus. The impossible has been made possible through Jesus. Very, very quickly, have a look at sentence number 31. We didn't have that bit read out for us, and I'm going to quickly read it. Thank you. Okay, sentence number 31. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. Sentence 32. He'll be handed over to the Gentiles, They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he'll rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. At that point, later on, they knew what he was talking about. Do you know how God makes the impossible possible through Jesus? I've talked about this a few times, and I'm going to talk about it again tomorrow night in even more detail. God makes the impossible possible through what Jesus said was about to happen. What did Jesus say was about to happen? Have a look down. Talk to the person beside you. Jesus says, something's about to happen to me. Quickly have a look. 20 seconds. Okay, shout it out. He's going to be killed. He's going to rise again. Just see the things there. He's going to be handed over. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be insulted. He's going to be spat on. He's going to be flogged. He's going to be killed. He's going to be nailed to a cross. He's going to rise again. The way that God makes the impossible possible is through the death of Jesus. And that's because Jesus, he dies our death. When Jesus dies on the cross, he takes our sin upon himself. When Jesus dies, he dies in our place. He dies so that we don't have to. You see, Jesus lived the life we could never live. He was perfect. And so when Jesus dies, he dies the death that we deserve. And more than that, not only does he take our sin upon himself, but he puts his goodness on us. He puts his perfection on us. He puts his righteousness, is one of the words the Bible uses, on us. That is, he does it all. It's through Jesus and Jesus alone that you can go to heaven. It's through Jesus' death for your sin that you can go to heaven. God won't look at your bank account when you're dead and say, yes, you've got enough money, you're allowed in. God will look at Jesus' bank account. God will look at the work of Jesus on the cross. And do you know how you'll get to heaven? Because of him. Because of him. That is how anyone can go to heaven. Not just rich people, but anyone. Is because of the work of Jesus. Now, I've got a fantastic story to tell you. This is a fresh story today. My wife, Rowena, she likes to drop things. On the village chair lift this afternoon during our lesson, she dropped her glove. As you can see there, she's very, very sad in this staged photograph well after the event. She dropped her glove. David, who's a hero, he skied down, he shredded up Hotham. I got to the bottom of the village chairlift and I almost died. The glove was a lot further up the hill than I thought, and I'm trying to climb up it. At first, I've taken my jacket off, taken my helmet off, stuck my skis in the ground, stuck my helmet on there, put my jacket over the top, put my gloves, got my stocks. And I proceeded to run up that hill. But before I could even start running, I fell into snow about this deep. That was step number one. Step number two, I got out of there and I tried to run up the hill. I failed. I slid back down about four times. And then I'm trying to do the kick a bit in, kick a bit in, kick a bit in, kick a bit in. And I'm getting higher and higher and higher and higher. And then I fell. And then I think, I'm never going to be able to get up this hill. So I went back down, put my skis on unsuccessfully. I put one ski on. And it's a bit hard to explain, but I've got one ski on, and there's so much snow on my other boot. I'm trying to bang off the snow off my other boot. And as I'm trying to get my other ski on, my legs crossed over. And I was in a pickle. I honestly thought I was going to rupture something in my knee as I stood there. It was literally a minute, maybe a little bit more than a minute. I'm thinking, how am I going to get out of this without being in one of the skidoo things that goes up the hill and a red flag around me? And eventually, I sort of went forward. I'm up on the end of my ski, and I got out with only a minor injury. Anyway, I then saw my ski group who then caught up. I thought, I'm going to give up. This is impossible for me to do. I'm not good enough to ski down the bit. It was too icy. It was too rocky. I'm just not skilled enough or fit enough to be able to get back up the hill to get the glove. I'm going to have to concede defeat and either buy a new set of gloves or... dum 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 dum. Danny steps onto the scene. Now, the girls in my group, I understand, have said that they think Danny's hot. Hasn't he got a fantastic chin? That's all we've ever seen of him. If you walked out, if you... If you walked past him on Pitt Street, you would not recognise him. You've got no idea what he looks like. But you know what? Danny, hot stuff. Steam's fucked up. It's not all about the chin, okay? He could do what I couldn't do, okay? If given the opportunity, he probably could have scaled up that mountain, but he's a little bit smarter and a bit more gifted on the old skis than old baby boy, and so he skis down, and he got the glove, and we gave him a cherry ripe. Did you get the point through that? That's a bit of a cool lost and found story. Lost glove, found glove. It was impossible for me to do anything about it other than die. Okay. But very, very quickly, I was actually thinking through all the options. I'm thinking, maybe I'll hop on the ski lift and jump off. I didn't. So. Not quite that stupid. What was impossible for me was possible for a professional skier. A professional mountain goat, okay? Just an amateur mountain goat. What is impossible for us, that is, getting to heaven, being good enough, is possible for Jesus. Jesus, he's the one that's got the credentials. He's the one that does it all for us. He's the one that makes it possible for us to go to heaven. Even rich people. Even people with 10 iPods. It is possible through what Jesus has done. Now, the difference between Christianity and all other religions is the difference between do and done. Let me very quickly tell you. Do, that's a do. Religion is all about what you do to be right with God. You got that? This rich man thought he could do stuff to be right with God. All the Pharisees we keep meeting in each of the passages, they think they can do stuff to be right with God. If you think you're going to get before God because you've got lots of money, if you think you're going to stand before God because you're a good person and you don't do stupid things at school like your stupid friends might do, that's religion. That's when we think we can do stuff. We might pray five times a day. We might help old ladies across the street. We might give money to the poor. We might do all those things. That's religion, and that will not get you to heaven. Christianity is not about religion. Christianity isn't a religion. Christianity is not about what you do, but it's about what Jesus has done. Christianity is all about Jesus. Christianity is all about Jesus and what he has done. Christianity is all about the death and resurrection of Jesus. That is central to Christianity. That is the most crucial thing to Christianity. The word crucial comes from the word crux, which comes from the word cross, which comes from Jesus dying on the cross, which comes from the term excruciating, which is a word made up to describe what it meant for Jesus to die on a cross. Christianity is all about Jesus. Getting to heaven is all about Jesus. The only way you can go to heaven is by what Jesus has done. It's not about what you can do. If you rock up to heaven and God says, "Why should I let you in?" and you say, "Because I have done," it's not about what you do. The only way to get in is by saying, "Because Jesus has done it. And I've trusted him." That is how you get to heaven. That's how the impossible is made possible. It's through the work of Jesus. We trust. Who can give me another word for trust? Faith. Anything else? Think about it.
Rely.
I heard of rely. What was another one in there, man?
Believe.
Depend. There's some great words. You know how? Do you know the only thing you have to do is trust Jesus? And that's not about you, it's about him. It's about Jesus, you've done it all. The only thing you have to do to become a Christian, the only thing you have to do to go to heaven is trust in what Jesus has already done. Is trust in what Jesus has done to make it possible for rich people and anyone, rich or poor, to make it to heaven. Our question from the start, if you can't remember it, was, how is it possible for rich people to get to heaven? How is it possible? How is it possible for anyone to get to heaven? Jesus. Trusting in Jesus. Depending on Jesus. Relying upon Jesus. Believing in Jesus. Having faith in Jesus. Following Jesus. Worshipping Jesus. The only way you will get to heaven is if you have a relationship with Jesus. If you have put your trust in Jesus and what he has done. Lost or found? There's the question. There's the closing question. There's the question I've left you with every single night. Are you lost or are you found? Because Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus came on a rescue mission. You need to be rescued, and it's only in the death of Jesus that you can be rescued. We've got 48 hours to go of camp. We've got 48 hours to go of camp. I think the next 24 hours are critical. The next 24 hours are critical. One, after 24 hours, you won't be able to go skiing. Okay, tomorrow is our last opportunity to ski. But more than that, the Bible study you're about to do, the conversations you have over dinner, the conversations you have as you go to bed tonight, the conversations on the chairlift are super duper important, uber important. Can I encourage you, if you aren't quite sure about this stuff, ask questions. Ask me, ask your leader, ask one of the leaders that's hopped up here and given their story about how they've become a Christian. Ask other campers who are Christian. Here's the challenge for the next 24 hours. I want you to ask each other, are you lost or found? Just say, are you lost or found? I've already been asking a few people today. And it's been really encouraging because I've been speaking to people who are found. And it's fantastic hearing people's stories about how they were found and when they were found and what their life's like now that they're found. So can I encourage you over the next 24 hours to ask each other, are you lost or are you found? And if you say lost, talk about what it is that you still want to find out more about. If you're found, talk about Jesus and say, how good is Jesus that he's found me? Talk about how you became a Christian. Talk about those things. Can I encourage you, if you've worked out that you're lost and you want to be found, there was that three-pronged prayer last night. What were the three things? Sorry, thanks, and please. You might want to pray that by yourself. You might want to pray that in your group. You might pray that when you get home. How is it that anyone gets to heaven? It's hard for you. You are super duper rich, but Jesus makes the impossible possible through his death on the cross. I'm going to pray. Dear God, thank you so much for Jesus. We know that we would still be lost if it weren't for Jesus. We know that we couldn't be found if it weren't for Jesus. We know that left to ourselves and left to doing things, we won't make it to heaven and we'll continue to be lost. But we thank you so much that Jesus comes and makes the impossible possible through his death. Thank you for him. Help us to trust him. Help us to live for him. And we pray for the next 24 hours and beyond that you'd help us to keep thinking through these things. That those who are already found would be able to encourage those who are lost. That those who are lost would ask questions and that you would show yourself to them. We thank you so much that Jesus makes it possible for us through his death. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.